All right, we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, I appreciate the meal. It was really good. And just been a blessing to be here and talk to people. And as I was trying to say this morning, just humbled to be here. When Brother Titus, when you asked me, I was like, so when I realized you're going to be here, I got more nervous because... I'm like, why me? Like, but, you know, I'm thankful for Brother Titus and, always appreciate his messages and in this church. And I have one thing I think about when we've come to conferences here in the past, you know, all the men coming up to sing, and then you guys did that again today. And just to see that group of guys just getting up there, it makes me want to try to get the guys together at our church and get a special together like that. So I appreciate that special. It's a blessing. But we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians. I was kind of torn on which message to preach first, and this was originally what I was going to preach first this morning. But I think the Lord led to do the other one first. But I want to look at this topic again, obviously, of Thanksgiving and being thankful. And just look at chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to read one verse. What's very clear from the Word of God is that we ought to be a thankful people. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, sometimes we can struggle with the will of God in certain things. But sometimes the Bible just comes up straight out and says, this is the will of God. And this is one of those times where it says that we're thankful. And everything, give thanks. And there's so many things that we can be thankful for. And we could all make a huge list of things and people that we're thankful for. And like I said earlier, at Flat Rock, we do our prayer requests. Usually the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we'll do something like filling out something we're thankful for during the prayer request time, and Pastor will read those off, and instead of like the usual prayer requests. And I don't want to be cliche, and I was kind of glad I held this message off now after what you said after the message this morning. I don't want to be cliche because there's obvious answers to that question, but obviously the Lord. I'm thankful for the Lord and for saving me, and that's by His grace, and it's only by His grace, and thankful for that. But very closely related to that is there's one thing that's made probably the biggest, besides that, the biggest impact on my life, and that's the Lord's church. I wanna read the first three verses of chapter 1 to start. This is more of a topical message. I didn't really have a text that we're going to reference the whole time, but I'm thankful for the Lord's church. And when I say that, just to be clear, I'll probably reference it in a couple of different ways. Obviously, the institution of the Lord's church, but then for the local church I'm in, or just for local churches that are faithful. But I'm going to read the first three verses. It says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience and hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." So we see here Paul and Silvanus and Timothy telling the church there at Thessalonica that we thank God for you. And like I was mentioning earlier, just in doing this study, on just a word study, what became very clear to me is just, and we'll be turning into a few of them, is how Paul was thankful to different churches. He made mention of being thankful for them over and over and over again. And like I said, I'm thankful for the Lord's church. And this isn't about me, but I do want to give a little bit of a testimony, if you will. But, you know, I wasn't brought up in church. Like, my parents didn't bring me to church. As a kid, as a little kid, my brother and I, we would go there in Flat Rock, there's the Church of Christ. There's like, I don't know, for a small city, there's like 30 so-called churches there, and probably more than that. Yeah, but when I was a kid, probably around first grade, they would pick us up there at the Church of Christ. They had this big white bus, and my brother and I would go there, and we went there for VBS, and we'd go there for a while. And at some point, they stopped picking us up. I don't really remember why. But we went there, and then in second grade, I was invited by a kid in our apartment complex. His name's John Hickey. I haven't seen him in years, but I'm thankful for him. He has no idea. He's lost, and that's the Lord saved him since I've seen him. He's the one that invited me to go to Flat Rock for the first time. I was in second grade, which is crazy also to me because my oldest daughter is now in second grade, and like that's how old I was when I first went to Flat Rock Missionary Baptist Church. But I was invited by a kid and to go there for the first time, and it was for Thursday night. We used to do on Thursdays, now we do on Wednesdays. We call it DBC or Discovery Bible Clubs. Now we call it Life Impact Night, which is so fitting because it's impacted my life so much. We didn't rename it after me or anything, but it's just we changed the name. But I'll never forget like the first time walking up the stairs there at Flat Rock and seeing my pastor, who's still the same pastor, and seeing him and you know looking at the ceiling and stuff. I was in second grade and walking in there, and I had no idea at the time how much of an impact that this church, this place, this group of people was going to have on my life. So when I say I'm thankful for the Lord's church, I'm not trying to say it as, you know, obvious answer, as Brother Titus was saying, but truly it's impacted my life in an amazing way. And the fact that any of us are a member of a true New Testament church is only by God's grace. We can't take credit for it. We weren't smart enough to figure out true doctrine. This has been revealed to us, and we're thankful for it. And there's so many, you know, so-called churches everywhere you go. And like I said, in Flat Rock, they're all over the place. You just go down Gibraltar Road, and it's like a Catholic church, and then a Baptist church. There's a Lutheran church. It's just like Church Row. None of them are true churches, but there's tons of them. And but they're not all the Lord's kind of church. And you don't say that in a prideful way. If you look at a church and what they believe and how they were started, and you look at history and you look at God's word, there's only one true kind of church. And so, and we're thankful for that. And true churches, they're getting smaller and they seem to be getting fewer and fewer. But I know for a fact from God's word, and you do probably too, that God's the Lord's kind of church is going to exist until He comes back. It's not but it might not be Wausau, and it might not be Faith Baptist Church at Wausau, it might not be Flat Rock Missionary Baptist Church, but there will be His true churches on this earth until He returns. And we know that from Matthew 16. I'll read a verse there here in a second. But we can't be prideful that we're a part of a true church. It's only by His grace, just like salvation, and He's revealed this. He revealed the truth to us. We didn't deserve it. And I just think if we were to just pause on that and reflect on that, it would cause us to give God the praise and the glory that's due to His name. And so I want to preach a topical message on how I'm thankful, and I hope and believe many of you are too, for the Lord's church. So my first point is, I can't skip this, is I'm thankful for its founder, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew 16:18. And it says, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the Lord, speaking of Himself, says, I will build my church on myself, and I believe He started His church during His earthly ministry. And I believe a true New Testament Baptist churches line up scripturally and historically with the church that Jesus started. There's all kinds of churches out there. And they were started by some man, whether it's, you know, Constantine or Muhammad or Joseph Smith or Martin Luther or whatever. They all go back to some man. But a true church goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only kind of church is the Lord's kind of church. And the Lord, He loved the church that He started. Let's look over at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and we see here that how much he loved the church. It says in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There's a lot of different kinds of churches, but the Lord only gave himself for one. He shed his blood for obviously all those that he was going to save, but he also gave himself for his kind of church that he started. So we cannot talk about the Lord's being thankful for the Lord's church without mentioning the Lord and how he founded it. But then I want to look at my second point is it's saints. And this is what I mentioned a minute ago, is that one of the things that stood out to me the most in studying this, or just really just doing a word study and trying to see what the Lord would lead in preaching, was the amount of times that Paul and others would give thanks for saints in different churches. And you see it throughout his letter. So we're in Ephesians, if you're still there. I'm going to turn back a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at when he said this in these different letters. And so Ephesians chapter 1, and he was thankful for the saints at Ephesus. Look at verse 15. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So we see that Paul, he gave thanks and he didn't stop. He continually gave thanks for the members of these churches that he was writing to. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. Nope, I went the wrong way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's a church that had all kinds of issues that he was addressing in this letter, but he was still thankful for them. And I'm thankful for that, because if you're only thankful for a perfect church, you're not going to be thankful, because there's no such thing. And if there was, we couldn't join it, because obviously you know that, because we'd mess it up. So 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, it says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." So here we see Paul getting ready to, get them corrected on a bunch of different things. And he was thankful for that church at Corinth. And then turn over to Philippians. Philippians. And he was thankful for the church at Philippi. It says in Philippians 1, verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." This is the kind of attitude that we ought to have. If we shouldn't think of a group of people or a church and think, "Oh, when I think of them, I think, oh, about these issues and that issues." No, when I think of Faith Baptist and Wauseon, I ought to thank God, and I do. I thank God for you. You think of another church, there's not a whole lot of churches that are standing for the truth these days. We ought to be thankful for them and for their saints. Obviously, they make up those churches. So he was thankful for the church there at Philippi. And then let's turn back to Thessalonians. We already read the chapter 1, so I won't do that. But look at 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 9. It says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?" You just see it over, again, just thankfulness for them. Even in chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians, again, he says in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." So when he's thanking, you notice this over as you read through these different things, that he's thanking the Lord for them and for what the Lord did for them. He's not just, "You're great people. I really like you. And, I'm thankful for the church at Wauseon," even though I don't know if you're all Michigan fans or not. And I'm not a cheater, though, so I'm not going to. But, we're not thankful for each other because we have common, interests in the same things like that. We have a common bond in the Lord, what he did for us. That's why we're thankful for each other. That's why you take a group of completely different people, and they can love each other, not because they had the same interest, but because the Lord saved them, and that's the greatest common denominator for that. And so we're thankful for each other for what the Lord did for us. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Oh, I just read that one. Okay. 1:3. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. I skipped one. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. So there was great, there was other obvious reasons for him to be thankful for them. A couple more. Turn to Romans. Romans 1 and verse 8, Paul writing to the saints there, and he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." That's quite the testimony to have. But he thanked the Lord through Jesus Christ for them. And then one more in Paul's letter to Philemon. And I'm going to read this one out of my notes because I'm getting nervous here. Philemon, it says, "I thank my God." This is chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and of faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints." So writing to this person here. So over and over again, I've been saying that a lot today. I don't know why I keep saying over and over again today, over and over. But it's repetitive in the scripture. And I think, like I said this morning, it's for a reason. We need this reminder that we ought to be thankful. And Paul was a good example of that. So we're thankful, and I'm thankful for the saints in the Lord's churches. And then I'm thankful for its pastors. Are you thankful for your pastor? I am thankful for mine. Like I said, when I first started going to Flat Rock, he's the same pastor. He's been faithful. He's been there 29, just hit his 29th year of being at Flat Rock. And thankful for his faithfulness throughout the years. Like I said, I wasn't brought up in church like by my parents, but I didn't feel like I lacked spiritual instruction because of one of the main people is my pastor, and just his heart to teach and to reach out to the youth and not just the youth. But are you thankful for your pastor? There's scriptures for this too that I want to turn to. Colossians, because I don't want to just say it like it's my opinion. This is what you see in the Word of God. Thankfulness for faithful shepherds, pastors, ministers. It says in Colossians 1, verse 7, "As ye learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." So there he is talking about Epaphras and mentioning him as faithful. And I believe your pastor, I know, and I believe my pastor are faithful, and we're thankful for them for that. This one, brother Luke, I think you were in 3 John this morning, and I had to write another one down because I was like, "There's another one." So 3 John, verse 1. Wait. Where did I write this down? 1:1-3. I'm in 2 John, that's why. Okay, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." So there he's saying that, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." So you see him being, John telling him how he's thankful for him and wishing him well there, and he was faithful in the truth. And then we see in 1 Timothy an admonishment for those how they're worthy for those that labor in the word. 1 Timothy 5. And verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. And I believe that's what we have in our pastors, in my pastor and your pastor, those that labor in the Bible. And not just in the word of God. I mean, pastors, they do all the stuff that we don't see too many times. And we're thankful for them and how they lead and how they are on guard for us too. And I'll read this one out of my notes. For Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know what? A faithful pastor, they have to watch for things. They have to see, is there a false teaching that's creeping into the church? Or is there a person that's promoting something that is against God's word? And that's not an easy task to do. And I haven't personally experienced that, but I can tell you I'm thankful for it. That's not a fun thing to do, too. I've seen my pastor stand up against stuff before, and I'm thankful he does it, you know, that I don't have to. Not that, I mean, we should, but, you know, for the church there. But they have to give an account, and that's the thing. They answer. They will answer for us and how they lead. And so we should obey them. I mean, we shouldn't skip over stuff like that. We need to obey our pastors as they instruct us in the Word of God. And they say the hard things. They say the hard things. Acts 20, verse 27 says, For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know, a faithful pastor, they don't just skip over the hard text. Say they're going through a book and they're just, expository preaching through a book. They're not going to skip over the stuff that would be uncomfortable to preach. A faithful pastor doesn't do that. They don't. They declare the whole counsel of God. Even the stuff that's, they say, even when it's not popular. And they don't skip over the hard stuff. And Paul was like that. He proclaimed the truth. And I'm sure you know this, but Galatians chapter 4, he says in verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And that's not, you know, a faithful pastor will say the truth. They're not trying to just please people with, you know, make everyone feel good. They have to declare the full word of God. And that's not out of spite. That's out of love. And if we don't see that, then we probably need to get right with the Lord, because they do that for us. So Paul was saying that the church is there and they're in Galatia. And then in 2 Timothy was admonishing Timothy to preach the word and be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So I'm thankful for pastors in the Lord's churches. It's not an easy thing from what I've seen, from what I've observed, but it's so needed, and we're thankful for them. Be thankful for your pastor. And then next, I'm thankful for the ministry of faithful churches, or for the Lord's churches. And I'm not just speaking of pastors. I'm talking about the members in any particular church who work to minister to those, whether it's within the church or reaching out to those not there. And look at Romans 16. And it says in verse 3 and verse 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, I'll stop there at the end of verse 4. And then you could read on. I'm not going to read on, but then you could go through verses 5 through 16. And there's a lot of people that are named here in this passage, of people that were faithful and ministering and serving. And there's a whole list of names of people that minister. And I could give you a list of names. I'll give you a couple of people at Flat Rock who've tremendously impacted me. I already mentioned my pastor, Bob Hugan. I'm thankful for him. And they say the hard times, that I'm not excluded. It's not just from the pulpit. Sometimes he say it directly to me, and I'm thankful for that. But also, Carl Lentz, he was my teacher, my teen teacher, from 7th grade to 12th grade. And the Lord saved me when I was in 9th grade. So I started going to Flat Rock in 2nd grade. I made a false profession of faith, and I was kind of, church was boring. You know, if you're lost, church is boring. And eventually I just stopped going, and I was excluded for non-attendance. And when I was 14, my freshman year of high school, the Lord saved me. And at that point, church wasn't boring anymore. You know, I wanted to be there. And Brother Lentz was, I still consider him my youth director. I've gone to him for Bible stuff. I've gone to him for parenting stuff. I've gone to him for financials. Like, I'm thankful for him and how he's ministered to me in my life. And my dad didn't bring me to church, but he's someone that I look up to very much. And then Shannon Stapleton, she was my Sunday school teacher before that. Violet Hall, some of you may know her. I know Brother Titus knows Violet Hall. My middle daughter, Ellie, her middle name's Violet because of Violet Hall. I'm just thankful for her faithfulness. And she went to be with the Lord here a couple of years ago. And she was pestering me for a couple of years. She wanted to give me a Bible. And I was like, sister, I got a Bible. You don't need to do that. I don't want you spending money. And she wouldn't leave me alone about it. And finally, I just told her, you know what? I'll take one of your old Bibles. I think that would be pretty cool to have one of your old Bibles. And so she did. She gave me, I have it at home. It's got all her notes scribbled down there. And like she'd write you notes, and you'd have to like interpret that for a while. Sometimes it's hard to read what she wrote. But I'm just thankful for her and just her faithfulness over the year. Just like when the guys came up here and they sang that special and you see the same faces, that's encouraging. That's a blessing that ministers to me. And so we're thankful for the faithfulness. There's others. There's Brother Neese. He's been at our church, I don't know, as long as I've been there. And I know he went to another church before that. And then I'm thankful for those. The Lord has used them in my life to impact me, to give me an example of faithfulness, or to just slap me upside the head if I need it, or just encourage me in a decision. We ought to be thankful for the ministry that takes place. In 1 Corinthians 16, it talked about the house of Stephanus, how they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And it says in 1 Corinthians 16, 15 through 18, I kind of already said the one thing, but it says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us and with us and laboreth. For I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit in yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. So we see here him talking about them and how they were laboring, how they were helping, how they were ministering. And be thankful for those. Try to be that kind of person to those around you. And there's another example there in Acts of, you know, the young church and how they were in chapter 6, how there was a problem there with the widows. And there were some men that stepped up and served and ministered so that the pastors could give themselves over to prayer and the ministry of the word. And there's examples like that all throughout the scriptures and of people that ministered. And I can't express to you how grateful I am. I can try, but just the fact for people at Flag Missionary Baptist Church, or even some of you in here when I talk to you and how you've encouraged me throughout the years, people that just had a heart to reach out to those in for Flat Rock's purposes in the community there, they had a heart for that. I mean, I wouldn't have. The Lord is sovereign, and I know He would have saved me. But I'm thankful He used Flat Rock Missionary Baptist Church, who had a heart. They had a pastor that had a heart to start a youth ministry and reach out. And it is how I started going to Flat Rock, and I'm just grateful for it. And so thankful for the ministry and the Lord's churches. Thankful, number five, for their continuance. Like we said, there's not, I mean, you're seeing less people being faithful to the Lord, it seems like. You're seeing churches kind of dwindle. And there are those that didn't continue. There's examples of those in Scripture. There's Demas there, having loved this present world. I mean, he there in 2 Timothy, Paul mentioning him, that he didn't continue, whether he was, you know, enticed by the world or just afraid of the persecution for one reason or the other. He loved the world and he departed. And there are those that don't continue. And I've seen that kind of growing up. And it's heartbreaking when somebody, you know, gets out of the house of the Lord and they're unfaithful to the Lord. But we're thankful for those that continue and stay faithful. Even when things get difficult or, you know, they don't get offended at little things and leave. Paul encouraged Timothy to continue. We know this, 2 Timothy 3, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So we see him, Paul, encouraging Timothy to continue. I mean, Timothy had... he had a bit of an upbringing there with his mom and his, I believe his grandma, just, you know, teaching him the scriptures and raising him that way. We don't know much about his dad, but he was encouraged to continue. And Hebrews 13:1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." And I'm thankful for the Lord's churches throughout the years continuing and being faithful and ministering. And I mean, they're still around, and we know the Lord was going to keep them around, but thankful for that. And it's not just, we can give scripture references, but there's also examples, you know, in history of Christians who they didn't give in or quit due to some horrific persecution. And I've read through, or a couple, maybe last year, the year before, I read through a book called Memorials of Baptist Martyrs, and similar to like Fox's Book of Martyrs, but it was eye-opening. The things that Baptists went through because of things like believing in baptism, you know, by immersion. I mean, people were dying because of that. And yet, today, it's like people quit because someone looked at them funny, or they didn't like what they, or they think that they're mad at them when they never said that, and they don't just go to them, you know, and petty things. And yet there were Christians that were dying because they wouldn't, you know, bow to the state church or whatever. There's an account I want to give that I remembered reading, and I looked it up and put it in my notes, of in the 16th century. And by the way, this still happens today. So I mean, I'm giving you an example from the 16th century, but you can read about persecution that we just don't see it so much in the U.S., but it's like throughout the world it's happening. But there's an account from the 16th century of a man named John Desuartes. I don't know how to say his name. And he was an Anabaptist. And his family had been betrayed by a professedly Christian pastor in that town. This was in Halwyn in Flanders, but they were carried away, and Desuartes was taken with his wife and four sons, the two youngest of his children not being at home when they broke in and got them. But they were warned by the neighbors to escape, but one of them said to the other, "Let us not seek to save ourselves, but rather die with our father and our mother." In the meantime, they carried the father out, who, seeing his sons, yelled, or said to them, "Will you also go to the New Jerusalem?" One of them, who was 16 years old, cried out, "Yes, we will, Father," and they surrendered themselves. And them and two other people of the same faith that were in the house, and two married couples, and a man that was trying to comfort them, they were all burnt at the stake. They all were martyred. And I think about that, and do recount, like, 16-year-old? Like, I'm 33, I don't know what I would do in that situation. But you just see example, like there's so many examples like that where people were, they were dying and willingly for the Lord. They weren't going to recant the truth. They weren't going to do that. And they continued. And for many that caused their earthly death. But there's just account after account like that. And why do people quit today? You know? If it was like the people today, many people, they would have a situation like that. They would get out of there. They wouldn't. They're gone. You know, I don't know what I would do. I'm not sitting here saying that I would stay, you know. I'm just thankful for those people that literally gave their life for the truth. And as we read earlier, God's kind of church isn't going to go away. But I guess my point is I'm thankful for those that continued, whether it was through history or just today, like faithful Baptist church members who are sticking with the stuff, even when it's not easy. But I can assure you, for us, it's a lot easier than it was for many of these people. And so I'm thankful for them. And like I said, they continued, but that doesn't necessarily mean that this church will be here or Flat Rock will be there. But let's have that mindset to want to continue. And then thankful for, I got a couple more and I'll be done, is there, I can't skip this. I'm thankful for their Bible. Thankful for their Bible. I'm thankful God's Word is perfectly preserved for us in the English language. We don't have to correct it. We have it here in the King James Version. And it's not the ideas. I have a hard time believing that. I don't have a hard time. Follow me here. How can you believe that God can keep your soul for all eternity, but he can't preserve his word for a few thousand years? God, exactly what we have in the English, in the King James, is exactly God's word. It's not just the ideas that were preserved. It's exactly what he had. And I'm thankful for it. I'm not prideful for it. I'm just thankful for it. It said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It says in Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. God's word is going to remain forever. They tried to get rid of it before. You can read about that in history. You can read about that in the word of God. People tried to destroy it. You can read about that in Jeremiah. Someone burned the roll. And Jeremiah said to them, hey, write it again. Write it again. And they did there in Jeremiah 36, 27, and 28. But we have God's word. We can't be prideful in that. Like, we need to be thankful to the Lord that he would have opened up our eyes to those scriptures in the first place. It's only of him and by his grace. But I'm thankful for it. And then, lastly, and kind of related to that, is for doctrine. For sound doctrine. I'm thankful for that in the Lord's churches. And again, it's not in a prideful way. I'm not interested in arguing with people about doctrine. I'm really not. I'm just thankful for the Lord revealing the truths of his word to me. And I'm not saying I got everything perfectly right. I know. I'm thankful for him putting me in a sound church. And when you get to know sound doctrine, it makes you appreciate it. A couple years ago, my grandpa Kavanaugh, he passed away. And I went to his funeral. And it was tough. My grandpa Kavanaugh was like a staunch Catholic. And he had a stroke around 97. That was actually around the time I started going Flat Rock. But for the last 15 years of his life or so, he couldn't really talk. He just, the stroke paralyzed half his body. He couldn't talk. But he was a staunch Catholic. In fact, he gave me my first, if you want to say, my first Bible. It's like a children's illustrated Bible. It was like pictures. And I still have it. But anyways, I went to his funeral, and I was also thankful that that I was able to witness to him. I don't know if he understood what I was saying. Before he died, I just tried to give him the gospel and try to, you know, I don't know if the Lord saved him or not. But at his funeral, it was just, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to, like, a Catholic funeral, but it was tough. Because, like, the things that they're doing, I'm not just talking about, like, the different motions and I don't know what they're swinging around and stuff, but just like the teaching and like, we're going to pray for this person that they'll be led into heaven. It's like, well, they already passed away. And just the false teaching that happens and like the very ritualistic stuff, it was tough for me. I had a really hard time with that. But I went back, that was on a Wednesday morning, and just went to church that night, and I was just so thankful for the truth. Not because I'm smart and figured it out, but for the Lord revealing that. Not everyone has that. And that's why we ought to be faithful in wanting to minister or reach out to people and give them the gospel. But we ought to be thankful for what we have in the Lord's church. I know, I just know the Lord used it in my life, impacted me, it continues to impact me. And like, I just want to be, it's not about me. I'm just saying I'm thankful for that church and their faithfulness and their heart and wanting to reach out. Even when I was dodging the van when I was a kid, you know, they beep and you just kind of peek out the blinds, think they don't see you, but they saw it. And just it was, you know, but then the Lord saves. And you never know. That's why, like, now I teach the teens, and we got a couple of kids that they don't want to be there. They don't want to be there, but, I mean, they're not saved. They need to be saved. I can't be mad at them. Just pray for the Lord to save them. And I look at them, and I remember what I was like in, you know, seventh grade. And if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be any different. So there's a danger, you know, in not being grateful for the Lord's church. It opens you up to discontentment. It opens you up to really just silly reasons to leave. And I've unfortunately seen that more than I would like to. Just friends, you know, growing up and then getting out of church for whatever reason, it's heartbreaking. And but that would be, outside of the Lord's grace, that would be you and me. And so, but we ought to be thankful for what we have. And we can still impact others the way that we've been impacted by the Lord's church. And so we should want to continue. We should want to minister. We should be thankful for our pastor. And like I said, just in studying for this, just seeing Paul, really most of the examples are Paul writing to these churches and being thankful for them. And it made me just think how thankful I am for the Lord's church. And that's what he uses. That's the institution that gives him the glory. We can't do it on our own. We have to be under the authority of a sound church, and that's to God, to him be glory in the church. And I'm thankful for it, and I hope you are too.